Amy Hall. I'm here with Greg Kokel, and you're listening to Stand to Reason's hashtag STRask podcast. I don't mention this very often, but if you like what you're hearing here, please check out our website at str.org. We have so many articles there that I've written, that Greg's written, that the other guys have written over the years. Mm-hmm. I don't know how many, hundreds of them. So if you have any more questions about these topics, we have likely written on them already, although we do get some interesting questions, don't we, Greg, that
yes,
I haven't heard before.
And videos, though. I mean, there are all kinds of videos, and we have STRU, and just saying, we got another podcast, too. Now, the thing that's unfortunate about that podcast is it doesn't feature Amy Hall on the mic. She's behind the window. It's just yours truly for 2 hours a week. But if you like this you can do without Amy for a couple of hours of podcasting and just put up with me and my guests and my callers, then you may want to check out the regular Stand to Reason podcast.
And just one more plug for that podcast. If you have a question that's longer than a tweet, I know I'm always saying you have to keep your questions for this short. But if you have a longer question and you'd like to go back and forth with Greg on that question, call the show. You can always find all the information on Tuesday morning right on the homepage of our website about how to call in. But we'd love to hear from you. You can call and talk to Greg and ask your question directly to him. So that's always an option also.
Yeah, okay, that's Greg. 4 to 6 p.m. Pacific time.
Yes. All right. Thank you, Greg. that's a good thing to point out. Yes, you can't just call anytime.
But that's also on the page. Yeah, that's right. Also on the page, so no worries. Yes.
So this first question
comes... What
do you
got for me, Amos?
This one comes from Any Moss. Are demons and fallen angels the same spiritual beings or distinct from one another? Is there scripture to support the claim that they're the same? If they are the same, why don't angels possess like demons? Could it have something to do with their rebellion? A few questions there.
There's a lot there. This is interesting, especially the last question. What it appears to be is that there are quite a number of different types of supernatural beings, immaterial supernatural personages other than God. And these, by the way, are all referred to as Elohim, or as gods, in translated gods, small g. And the word Elohim is also used of the one and only true God, capital G, all right? And so what Elohim is referring to is the individuated spiritual personage, of which God, of course, is, but he is the one who is over all and who created all. But there are also lesser spiritual beings that are called gods, in a sense. The word is Elohim. And so they of different sorts. Now, it appears that the category of angelic beings, the host of heaven that were angelic beings of this sort that we call angels, were part of a rebellion that happened before humans were created. That's what it appears to be, but there's ambiguity there. In any event, Revelation seems to indicate, and you probably know where the reference is, but I don't, about one-third of the host of heaven was swept away by the devil. So in the rebellion, one-third of the angels sided with Satan, and the other two-thirds stayed faithful to God. All right. Now, so I do think they're the same kind of beings. And I go back to that passage. Whether they're the exact same, in a certain sense, species of Elohim or not, may be inconsequential. It just seems that they are, from what I've seen and read so far. Incidentally, this whole concept of spiritual beings and Elohim, I think Michael, help me out, Amy. Michael
Heiser.
Heiser has done a good job of talking about these distinctions in his book, The Unseen Realm. All right. There's some controversial things in there. Not everybody agrees, but certainly this aspect is pretty straightforward. All right. The idea that there are lowercase gods out there, that is spiritual beings that are described in scripture as Elohim, and there's different variety of them, and they have different tasks. Now, angels are messengers, angelos. They're messengers. They do a particular job. There are other spiritual beings that are devoted to worship of God, for example. But angels are messengers. They do different tasks, okay? I think the reason that, and this is completely speculation. I've never thought about this before, and I don't know that there is any clear scriptural support one way or another. This just makes sense to me. The reason that the Christians are not possessed by angels, the good guys, is because Christians are already possessed by the Holy Spirit. And the angels, to take over someone, in a certain sense, against their will, to demonize them is the way the New Testament describes it. It doesn't say possessed. That's a way of putting it. But it's demonizomai, or whatever is the Greek word. It means to be demonized. So to be demonized is to be assaulted by a fallen angelic being, and no regular angel would do that to an image bearer in general, and certainly not to a Christian who already has the Holy Spirit. Okay, so when demons possess, quote-unquote, someone, they are assaulting that individual, and it's an act of evil aggression against them. And when you see characterizations of demon-possessed people in the New Testament, you see all those awful things that happen to them as a result. So angels would not be inclined, like this isn't their preference. No, they aren't going to do that. It's not that they're not inclined. They're not going to, because they're not fallen. All right? So I think, simply put, angels and demons are in the same category of spiritual creatures, and demons possess as an act of evil assault. Where angels will not do that, they are function as messengers and protectors of sorts. And the word means messenger, but they also, we know from other descriptions that they act as protectors as well. So I don't know if you have more to add to that, Amy. Probably do. Well,
first of all, I want to say I love questions that make me think about things that we just automatically accept and never question. So it's a right. Great question to ask if angels, the devil's angels and demons are the same thing. Because when I first saw this, I thought, wait, you know what? I never even thought about that. So I love thinking about
Been asked that before.
No. I love thinking about things that are just generally accepted, but maybe I've never actually thought through it. So thank you for this question. I'm not sure if I have anything specific biblically to say one way or the other. However, I will say, I was thinking about Matthew 25, where Jesus says, "Then he will also say to those on his left, 'Depart from me, accursed ones, into the eternal fire, which has been prepared for the devil and his angels.'" There's no mention of demons there. And then that started me thinking, you never actually see them mentioned together, the devil's angels and demons. They're never mentioned together. It's either the devil's angels or it is demons. It's one or the other. That to me suggests that these are synonymous. I don't really have a way to prove that, but that's the sense that I get from that.
Yeah, but it certainly demonstrates that they are of the same species, so to speak, of Elohim. Mm-hmm. That they are the devil and his angels, but we know them to be fallen angels, and his cohorts are called demons in other places. So that makes perfect sense. Mm-hmm. And it's contrasted to the angels of God. So I'm looking I'm just scanning in Revelation, and it's, hard to do that because everything is kind of
Well, while you're doing that, I just want to respond
in Revelation, but there is a place where the serpent's tail sweeps away one third of the heavenly host, something like that. Do you remember
that?
Well,
that reminds me, Greg, some of these passages that they're so hard to know exactly what they're saying, especially in Revelation where things are so symbolic.
Right.
And it's hard to tell when things are happening or what they're describing. A lot of the things we say about the devil, I think some of the explanations that we use in the Bible are kind of shaky. I'm not entirely convinced that we know as much as we confidently say about the devil and mm-hmm. As to, you know, what happened in heaven and all that. So that just makes it all of these questions really kind of tricky. But I suppose it also means it doesn't matter. I mean, we know that there are these spiritual beings who are accusing us and are tempting us and so on. So maybe we don't need to know all the details about that. But it's interesting to
That's
think
right.
about. And Greg, I also agree with you about angels not being the kinds, the non-fallen angels not possessing people, because that's an insult to the dignity of human beings. God doesn't circumvent our wills. He works through our wills. And yes, I do think God does move us in our wills, but he doesn't do it in a way where he goes around our wills and uses some other being to cause us to speak or move or do all those sorts of things. So
mm-hmm.
Did you want to add mm-hmm. anything more to that before yeah. we move on, Greg?
No, I haven't. No, that's a great observation. And again, I'm just kind of just try scanning through Revelation sometime and you go a little cuckoo because it's like, what is going on here? But there is a passage that talks about the tale of the dragon. And I'm not able to find
oh,
it.
Oh, I found it, Greg.
Just by scanning here.
You got to use a digital Bible. What? It's in Revelation 12:4. His tail.
And we already talked about not using digital Bibles. Remember that a couple of weeks ago?
Oh, my. I always
talk
use
with
it
my
to
daughter
look
about
up.
It.
Oh, you
no,
did?
That, you're right. So I want to come back. No, I agree with you, obviously, for that purpose, but I want to come back to that other point in just a second. Go ahead.
Revelation 12:4. His tail swept down a third of the stars of heaven and cast them to the earth. But again, it's not, again, all of this is symbolic, so there's room to kind of try and figure out what this is referring to. But people have taken this to mean the fallen angels.
The fall, yeah. No, what I was going to, yeah, so there, it's somewhat speculative. So what I was going to say, and we discussed this already, but I'm going to add this because I had a discussion with my daughter the other day because we went to church, and she, the week before or whatever, when we went, I said, where's your Bible? I got my phone. Well, she got a Bible on her app, right? So that means she's using her phone as a Bible app, all right? But next time we went, which was just a couple of days ago, I said, honey, bring your Bible, your handheld Bible, all right? And then I had to tell her, she's sitting next to me when we're in church, put your phone away. And then I sat her down afterwards and I explained to her, honey, as you grow in the Lord, you are going to love the Lord more and you're going to love his word. I had my Bible with me. All right. And I was showing her, you're going to love this because this is the word of God. This phone, this is not the word of God. And there are going to be times out of love for the word, you're going to take this book and you're going to hold it to your breast. You know, and I bet every Christian who loves the Lord and loves the word has done that. Because you love the word of God. And you aren't going to do that with an iPhone, because an iPhone is not the word of God. The word of God is an app on your iPhone. You're never going to hold your iPhone to your chest and say, oh, I love the word of God. You know, it won't happen. You might be saying, I didn't say this to her, I love my iPhone. That's different. I want her to work with the word and love the thing, even though, strictly speaking, the book we have is a token of the word of God. It's just one way of characterizing it, and it's exactly the same word that's in her phone. I get that. But the dynamic is different, and you and I, Amy, talked about this a few shows ago.
Yes, and if you'd like to hear that whole discussion, that was on November 1st. So if you go back and listen to our November 1st show, that's when we talked about the using a physical Bible rather than using a digital app when you're reading the Bible. Okay, Greg, let's do another question on a similar topic. This one comes from Steve D. If Satan is separated from God in hell, which has been described as eternal conscious torment, and is also able to work evil in people's lives, he prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour, wouldn't being in hell be something that brings him pleasure?
I guess I don't follow that. He is being tormented. Actually, I have the verse, since I'm still open to Revelation from that last question. It says that they are thrown into the lake of fire where they're, actually, I'm just going by memory right now. I'm scanning all this strange stuff. Where they are tormented. There's two places. I think it's in one in Revelation like 17 or 18, and then Revelation's 20, you know, and they are tormented forever and ever. They're thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Lake of Fire. So the other passage, like 17 or 18, talks about the torment, the smoke goes up. So their torment, how could that be fun? Why is that? The whole point of describing it as torment is because whatever it is and whatever the nature of the devil is, it's torment for him. So he's not tricking God like saying, I'm the devil, I like burning. Okay, I tricked you, God. It's like Briar Rabbit, throw me in the briar patch, if anybody remembers that story. So Briar Rabbit, I should say, throw me in the briar patch. Of course, he loves the briar patch, you know. I don't think it's going to be anything. Let me put it this way. I'm certain it's nothing like that, okay? But I'm not even sure I'm understanding the connection of the verses involved that one would even draw that conclusion. Do you follow that, Amy?
I think he's asking if the devil enjoys working evil in people's lives. I think he means in hell. Right. Will he be able to do what he enjoys, which is to torment others in hell?
No, because the torment, maybe if that's the question, then we need to clarify something. And this is a confusion that some people have, Christians and non-Christians, and was a part of a play that I saw at my own church years ago that I was aghast at, the evangelistic play. And in this play, you have these people that are dying, believe it or not, believer, they talk back and forth. Then you have they both die, and then they're at kind of like ready for the next phase. And Jesus comes and takes one away, Jesus' white robes and spotless, you know, and then the demons come and take the other person to hell. So what they're doing is sanitizing Jesus. He's not going to dirty his hands with any of that punishment stuff, any of that hell stuff. No, he's going to let the nasty demons do that. You're going thrown to the demons, and the demons are going, ha, 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 ha. We're going to have so much fun tormenting you. That is not hell. Hell is a place where God does the punishing, not demons. Demons are subjects of the punishment of God in hell. When Jesus condemns, depart from me, you who knew iniquity, do iniquity, I never knew you, you know, etc., etc., sheep and goats and all that. This is not like he's soiling himself. This is an act of holy justice. And when I saw that play, it made me cringe. I couldn't believe that our church was putting this on. It was a traveling troupe meant to have an evangelistic impact. Oh, be sure to become a Christian so you don't get thrown to the demon wolves. So that is not the picture. The demons and the unforgiven sinners are all, they all have the same basic judgment, the lake of fire and brimstone. Now, there are clearly degrees of punishment. Some have it worse than others there. But nobody has a good time. And God's doing the punishment, not demons.
This goes right back to the verse we mentioned in the last question, Greg. The eternal fire which has been prepared for the devil and his angels. They are under judgment there as much as any other human being who will be punished by God. And if anyone objects to the idea that God is expressing his wrath in hell, and I know there are some people that do, there are different verses, but the one of them comes to mind here in Romans 3. And Paul says, "What shall we say? The God who inflicts wrath is not unrighteous, is he?" I'm speaking in human terms. "May it never be, for otherwise, how will God judge the world?" So the way God judges the world is through his wrath. And he does this in hell. He expresses his wrath against sin and evil and those who are unrepentant and have not, who are not in the book of life. So you're absolutely right, Greg. The wrath is coming from God and it is against them. The demons will not be happy in hell. So hopefully that answers your question, Steve. And we thank you for your questions. You have something else to add, Greg?
I was working way back when I was a brand new Christian back in the 1970s. And I was working for United Van Lines, and there was a crusty old driver there, and I was the one who helped move the furniture, right? And I was trying to talk to him about the Lord, and he said, "I don't want to be happy for the eternity. That'll be boring. I want to go to hell and hang out with my buddies and play cards and drink beer and stuff like whatever it is." I said, "What?" Yeah. I mean, what can you say to a person? He didn't want the Lord, obviously, but it's not going to be like that. You're not going to be with your buddies enjoying each other's company. I want to say, if you're hanging out with your buddy and somebody's hammering your thumbs, all of you, are you going to be able to say, "Yeah, deal me in"? No, pass the beer, you know.
No, yeah, people don't realize that the pleasure they get from those things are coming from the good things. The you know, fellowship with other people and joy is a good thing. And even if you're getting it through a twisted way of doing something bad, that little bit of pleasure you're getting from it is coming from something good. And none of that will be there in hell. So you're right, Greg. I hear that all the time. And I wonder if people really think that, or they're just, they don't really believe in hell, or they wouldn't be saying that. All right. Thanks for your questions. We look forward to hearing from you on Twitter with the hashtag STRAsk. This is Amy Hall and Greg Kokel for Stand to Reason.